Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode of the Football History Headlines on the Best of the Pigskin Dispatch, we discuss the free substitution rule of 1950, conference championships, and the anchor of the Lombardi-era offensive lines of the Packers, as well as many more Hall of Fame legendary birthdays and stories, all coming up in just one moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends, and welcome to the Pigpen. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and we hope that you've been enjoying these football history headlines, and we want to tell you of some things that are going to be coming up after the Super Bowl. Right around February 8th, we're going to start on a journey where we're going to go through the uniforms of the NFL players and some college, and in particular, the uniform numbers, and we're going to start at 0 and 00, work our way all the way up to 99, and we're going to have some great guests along the ways. We'll take some pauses here and there because we have some special things planned, but we're going to start it off with Bill Schaefer of the Gridiron Uniform Database, and he's going to tell us about the history of the uniform and some things to look at in uniforms that maybe we hadn't noticed before. You'll learn a lot. We also have a great interview with one of the legends of the game from a legendary football first family, Upton Bell, whose father was Burt Bell, and his grandfather was with Walter Camp at the meetings before the NCAA was the NCAA, met with Teddy Roosevelt back in the day. Great stories from him as well. Well, those are all coming up in February. Make sure you stay tuned and make sure you hit that subscribe button. Right now, let's get to our football history headlines. And we'll start off January 23rd, 1950. The NFL rule changes with, according to the sportaddict.com, where unlimited free substitution was restored. This opened the way for the era of two platoon systems and specialization in pro football, such as an offensive team, defensive team, and special team specialists. January 23, 1952, the Dallas Texans franchise forms in 1952 as a franchise was awarded after Dallas purchased the assets of the New York Yanks from the NFL. January 23, 1953, at the owners' NFL meetings, the successful sale of the franchise that would become the reincarnation of the Baltimore franchise took over 4 weeks as Carol Rosenblum became the principal owner of the new Baltimore Colts and absorbed basically the defunct Dallas Texans teams that we just talked about. They only lasted a year. If we look back at the December 28th history headlines, you'll learn a little bit more about that. Also decided at this meeting was the NFL's National and American Conferences would become the Eastern and Western Conferences. We know that eventually it would change back after the merger and go back to the American Football Conference and a National Football Conference. But there was that span where they were the Eastern and the Western. January 23rd, 1978, at Tampa Stadium. At the NFL Pro Bowl, the NFC squad edges out the AFC 14-13. What a game that was. The game's MVP was Chicago Bears running back Walter Payton. According to the Tampa Sport History Blogspot, the game was broadcast nationwide on ABC and called by the renowned Monday Night Football crew of Frank Gifford, Dandy Don Meredith, and Howard Cosell. Big time game that was for the Pro Bowl then. January 23, 1983, at Miami's Orange Bowl. The New York Jets in the early 1980s were a team built on speed. The worst thing that could have happened to a team of that nature is to have it rain for days on end in southern Florida's on a natural playing surface. And unfortunately for the Jets, it did occur according to a Newsday article. The game had gone down in the annals of NFL history as the Mud Bowl, as it was called. The wet, muddy field negated the Jets' significant speed and skill advantage, and the Miami Dolphins benefited as they blanked the New York Jets 14-0 in the AFC Championship game to advance to the Super Bowl. January 23, 1994, at Rich Stadium in Orchard Park, New York. The 1993 season's AFC Championship game saw the passing offenses almost nullified by the defenses. Bills running back Thurman Thomas thrived with 186 yards on the ground and 3 touchdowns as the Buffalo Bills beat the Kansas City Chiefs 30-13 to advance to Super Bowl XXVIII. And who would their opponents be? Well, that was decided on that same day in 1994 at Texas Stadium in Irving, Texas. The Dallas Cowboys punched their tickets to Super Bowl XXVIII as to face the Buffalo Bills as they knocked off the San Francisco 49ers 38-21 in the NFC Championship game. January 23rd, 2000, Alltel Stadium in Jacksonville. Some new names were found in the AFC Championship game in the new millennium as the Tennessee Titans beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 33-14 per the ProFootballReference.com website. Titans quarterback Steve McNair had almost as many yards rushing, 91 with 3 TDs, as he did passing when he went 14 of 23 for 112 yards. With the victory, Tennessee earned the right to play in Super Bowl 34. And their opponents, with that game played that same day, was a defensive battle that ensued in the 1999 season's NFC Championship game played at the Trans World Dome in St. Louis, per the Pro Football Reference website. The St. Louis Rams outscored the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 11-6 to advance to Super Bowl 34 to face those Titans. January 23, 2005, at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh, the New England Patriots ruined the party for the Pittsburgh Steelers as they handily defeated them 41-27 in the AFC Championship game. Patriot wideout Deion Branch scored twice as New England won the Lamar Hunt Trophy. And their opponents in the Super Bowl that year, the Philadelphia Eagles, knocked out the Atlanta Falcons 27-10 in the NFC Championship played at Lincoln Financial Field in Philly. Chad Lewis caught 2 Donovan McNabb passes to help the Eagles advance to Super Bowl 39 per the ProFootballReference.com. January 23, 2011, the NFC Championship game played at Soldier Field in Chicago was a matchup of 2 longtime NFC North rivals, and in the game for the right to play in the Super Bowl, it was the Green Bay Packers knocking out the Chicago Bears 21-14. And their opponent was in a game played at Heinz Field on that same day as the AFC Championship game at Steelers running back Rashard Mendenhall run for 27 times for 121 yards and scored once to help the Pittsburgh Steelers overcome the New York Jets 24-19 per an ESPN.com story. Wow, with all those headlines and excitement, let's take just a breather for just a second. As we take a quick break from the headlines, let me remind you that you can also learn more about the Gridiron history on our website, pigskindispatch.com. And you can contact me, Darren Hayes, at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from someone, here is one of my podcasting partners from the sportshistorynetwork.com that has a message for you.
Hello, sports fans. My name is Mark Mortier, and my show is called Yesterday Sports. My show mainly focuses on old school sports from the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. I'm a member of the Pro Football Researchers Association and a sports historian. I have a podcast every other Tuesday, so come join us at the Sports History Network for a trip down memory lane.
Now that is definitely a podcast you don't want to miss, and I'm going to check it out right after I get done with this podcast. Let's go to some Hall of Fame birthdays. January 23rd, 1935, at Throckmorton County, Texas, Oklahoma's fantastic fullback, linebacker, and center, Jerry Tubbs was born. According to his bio on the NFF website, in Jerry's 3 seasons with the Sooners, they played 31 games, and over that span, they never lost a single one. Tubbs started at fullback in 1954, averaging over 6 yards per carry, but in 1955, his coach moved him to the center position, and remarkably, the bold move paid even greater dividends as the Sooners' rushing attack became even more fierce with Tubbs blocking up front. As a linebacker in 1955, he was everywhere. In fact, In the Texas game that year, he picked off three Longhorn passes. The National Football Foundation selected Jerry Tubbs to enter into their ranks of the College Football Hall of Fame in 1996. Tubbs had an 11-year pro career as a linebacker for the Chicago Cardinals, San Francisco 49ers, and the Dallas Cowboys. He then had a 21-year career as an assistant coach with those same Cowboys. January 23, 1936, Jordan, Montana. Jerry Kramer, the star guard of the University of Idaho, was born. Jerry was a fourth-round pick of the Green Bay Packers in the 1958 NFL draft, according to the ProFootballHOF.com website. Kramer was looked upon as the foundation of the Lombardi-era's Packers O-lines, as his athletic skill and smarts made him a formidable challenge for any defender to get past. He was a starter in six NFL championships and also two Super Bowls, and the Packers only lost one time in those eight games. Jerry was named to the All-NFL team five times in his 11-year pro career, and he played in three Pro Bowls. This man had special skills that even employed him as the Packers kicker in the 1962 and 1963 seasons, and even a little bit in his last year in the league. In fact, his three field goals in the 1962 NFL Championship game propelled Green Bay to victory over the Giants. In 2018, Jerry Kramer slipped on the brand new gold jacket and was enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. January 23, 1952, East St. Louis, Illinois. Washington University of St. Louis linebacker Shelby Jordan arrived into this life. According to the footballfoundation.org website, Shelby was a 6'7", 270-pound beast as he led WUSL in tackles for three consecutive seasons en route to being named a Kodak first-team All-American during his senior campaign. The National Football Foundation voters selected Shelby Jordan to be inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2013. After graduation, Jordan went into the seventh round of the 1973 NFL draft as he was picked by the Houston Oilers. Eventually, Shelby became a six-year starter with the New England Patriots at offensive tackle and later won Super Bowl XVIII with the Los Angeles Raiders. January 23, 1971, Savannah, Georgia. The great offensive lineman of the LSU Tigers, Kevin Mowey, was born. Kevin played in the NFL for 16 seasons, according to his Hall of Fame bio on the ProFootballHOF.com website. He played in eight Pro Bowls over that span and was on the All-2000s All-Decade team as a center. Kevin was originally drafted in the second round of the 1994 NFL draft by Seattle and played guard for the first two seasons in the league. He then changed to the position of center, where he thrived for the rest of his long career. Altogether, he played four seasons with the Seahawks, eight with the New York Jets, and his final 4 years as a member of the Tennessee Titans. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Kevin Mowey in the class of 2019. We sure are appreciative that you joined us once again on these football history headlines and legends of Hall of Famers, and we hope that tomorrow on January 24th you'll join us again, as well as on into the future, because we have some really great shows and episodes planned for you. And remember, we podcast about football history every single day of the year, so make sure you join us. One way to do that is to hit the subscribe button on the podcast player you're listening to right now. You can also go to your favorite podcast provider and tell them that you want to subscribe to the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch podcast. If you don't want to do that, email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'll put you on our mailing list. We'll shoot you an email every single morning at 6:47 a.m. Eastern Time. You'll get that podcast as well as the great articles that we're posting that day on our website, pigskindispatch.com. Another avenue is you can go to the sportshistorynetwork.com, where we are a partner, and you can see our podcast as well as all the other podcasts. And I think there's 13 of us all together on there, and it's growing every day, so that might be outdated just by me saying that. But you just can't believe the talent of these other podcast hosts on our Sports History Network, because they are great, and some of the guests are just outstanding. As a matter of fact, most of the guests are outstanding, and you will just love the content of the Sports History Network. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.